Hey, thanks for being here. We're doing a one-off sermon today. It's not a series. It's actually just something that God put on my heart while I was on sabbatical to preach today. And so excited to share this with you. And, you know, when we care about somebody, we ask about them, right? We ask how they're doing. We ask them questions like, man, how are you? How's the family? How's your job? How's your truck? All the really important things in life, you know, the things that that matter. No, we rarely ask about how things are going on the inside. Isn't that right? We rarely ask about how people's hearts are doing. And I think the reason I don't do that is because I'm afraid they might ask me about how my heart's doing. And that's sort of scary, right? And so we sort of keep things on the surface. But I think it's a really important question that we ask, even though it may be uncomfortable for us, is how is our heart? How's our heart? And before you kind of dismiss or blow off that question, I want you to hear this verse from Proverbs 4:23. It says, above all else, that's important, isn't it? Above all else, guard your, what is it? Heart. Why? For everything you do flows from it. This is so important because your heart, the condition of your heart, the desires of your heart, the emotions of your heart, the health of your heart affects every other single area of your life. It'll influence how you relate to your family and friends. It'll influence your energy level, your focus at work, or your focus at school. So much is riding on the fact that we need to have a healthy heart. That's true physically. I mean, we always just talk to somebody talking about their heart issue. And I think that's a big deal. That's a stop everything and get to the hospital issue when you've got a heart issue, right? And I'm not as young as I used to be. And so I'm starting to think about my health, health of my heart. And so Gabriel's trying to cut me back on things like salt and butter. That's a shame, right? I mean, that's what makes the world go around, salt and butter, if you're asking me. But I'm starting to watch because here's the deal. If my heart isn't right, it pumps blood. That little pump affects every other single part of my body. If the heart isn't right, everything else is going to suffer. Guys, when the desires of our heart are off kilter, if our emotions are out of whack, if we're not good and have a self-love for ourselves, if our heart isn't right, it will bust up everything else. It's a really important question. How's your heart? Can I tell you, I'm still thankful for my sabbatical that I got away this summer, and God did some work in my heart, some health issues in my own heart that he was able to work through with me. And I think of our heart sort of like an AC filter. You know, whatever's coming through that ductwork gets caught in the filter, and it gets gummed up, and every so often, you're like, why isn't it blowing air anymore? And you go up there, and it's just gummed up full of gook, right? And you got to replace the filter or clean the filter. Guys, our heart, there's stuff floating around in our daily lives, and we get it stuck in our spirits and in our hearts. And if we're not careful, we got to be careful to clean those things out. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And I don't know if you've ever wondered this, but why, and I've seen it over and over as a pastor, why some people can read God's word and it just bounces off of them like it has not affected them in the least. And some people will read God's word and it brings them to their knees in tears. And say, why is that? Or why some people can get involved in church and their life just comes alive and they flourish and their life changes and they're not the same person they used to be. And yet some people can go year after year, decade after decade, and it's just the same person showing up in that seat every single week. And you go, why is that? You think, how can two or three or more kids be raised in the same home and some of them have a heart for God and love the things of God and desire the things of God, and yet there's others and they don't? Same upbringing, same opportunity. Say, why is that? Well, Jesus is going to answer that and those questions and more for us. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 13. It's a issue of our heart, and he explains it here. And he says this. Then he told them many things in parables. So we got a parable today. And he says this. Our farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up and the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 and 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Now this is the parable Jesus told. But I want to back up just a second. The first two verses of this chapter, I want to explain this day. This day that Jesus had, he had interacted with the sick and the poor, and he had done healing, and he had blessed them, and he'd helped them, and they were grateful for his ministry. And then his family came, and they wanted to take charge of him and tell him he was off his rocker, and he was misunderstood, and they doubted him. And then his disciples were faithful to follow him and obey his teaching and doing what he asked them to do. The Pharisees and the scribes had come to him that day, and they were purposefully against him and trying to thwart his ministry. And it says, after that busy day, he goes out by the lake by himself. He gets away from the crowd, and he's sitting there on the shore just thinking. But like usually, when Jesus tries to get a little bit of time to himself, guess what happens? The crowd follows. They come find him. And I believe what we just read there was on Jesus' heart that day, and he had seen all that had taken place. And so I believe he began to teach what was exactly on his heart and what he was thinking about that day. And that's simply this, that the people's hearts that he had encountered that day were just in different places. Their hearts were in different places. And how their hearts were, the condition of their heart, dictated how they responded to him in his message. And guys, that hadn't changed. That's the same for us. The way you and I respond to Christ, the way you and I follow his will or not follow his will, is really just an issue of where our heart is each day. And to tell that story and to explain that, he uses four different types of soil and four different plants to illustrate what those four hearts look like. Now, is that the sorriest group of plants you've ever seen? I went and bought those at the nursery, and the lady's like, they were so pitiful. She's like, I'm going to cut you a discount. I said, thank you, because they are pitiful looking. These plants have various levels of growth and fruitfulness and health and vitality, don't they? But you got to understand, they got the same sun, they got the same water, they got the same opportunity for growth. They had the same seed going in the ground, and yet they have very distinctly different amounts of health in them, don't they? You know what's true of us? It's true of our hearts. Whether we realize it or not, we've had the same opportunity. We have the same Heavenly Father who loves us. We have the same Savior who died upon the cross for us. We have the same Spirit, if you're a follower of Christ, who is alive in us to bring life change to us. We have the same Holy Scriptures that guide us in our life. We have the same gospel that the good news of Jesus Christ can dwell in our hearts richly. We have the same opportunities, and the only difference in these was the soil. And the only difference in us is the condition of our what? Of our heart. That's the only difference, is the condition of our hearts. Now, those first two plants are pretty pitiful, aren't they? One doesn't even exist. One's a stick. Third one doesn't look much better. This one on the end's pretty good, right? I don't know anybody that shows up at church and is trying to live for God and says, man, I want my fruitfulness in life to look like this. I don't know anybody. Or anybody say, man, I hope my spiritual life tastes off like that. Or really, this is like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. Nobody wants to look like that. That's horrible. We all want to look like that. We all want to be vibrant and alive, but we've got to take precautions, guys, that our heart would stay malleable and open to the will of God in our lives. Otherwise, there's things that can creep in and cause our heart to get off track. Now, I love this parable because Jesus goes on to explain the meaning of the parable. Literally, this is probably the easiest message I've ever preached, because literally I'm just telling you the rest of the sermon what Jesus explains in the following passage. And here's what he's saying. There's a reason why some thrive and some die. It's the condition of our hearts. And he said, listen, every church is going to have different types of soil, different types of hearts in it. We don't need to be alarmed by that. In fact, he told a story, two different parables about, one was the sheep and the goats. And if you take a glance at a field and you see little baby sheep and little baby goats, they look about the same, don't they? Am I the only one that thinks that? And he said, look, in the church, you're going to have sheep and goats growing up together. And the day of judgment, I'll separate the sheep and the goats, the people that believe in me and the people that don't. And he said, in this field called the church, there's going to be wheat that's good. And there's also going to be things called tares, and they're weeds that look like wheat. And they're going to grow up right there with the wheat, and they're going to grow together. And instead of pulling them apart during the harvest, he said, just let me pull them apart at the end. And so God's going to separate the wheat and the tares, those who believe and have a heart for God, and those who don't. And so let's look at how to have a healthy heart, how to keep our hearts where God wants to use it, to guard our hearts, that everything that we do flows through. The first thing I can tell you, if we're going to have the right heart for God, is we've got to identify deception to avoid a hard heart. We have to identify any deceptions in our life to avoid a hard heart. This is what Jesus said, verse 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom, that's the good news of Christ, and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in their what? In their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Now, when you walk on the path, you pack down the ground. It's hard dirt. It's hard ground. You say, why is the ground so hard? It's because people have been walking on it and packing it down, right? Am I right? Well, you think about this in an emotional sense. We can have emotionally hard hearts because people have been walking on us. We feel trampled by life or by other people. And that emotionally just wears us down. And if enough bad things happen to us or enough people hurt us in the wrong way, we can begin to think that God is the author of evil, that he's against us and not for us, that he doesn't care about us. Can I tell you that's not true? That those are deception, those are lies of the enemy. He's called the evil one in this passage. Other places he's called the great deceiver. Listen, the enemy that comes and steals the seed on the hard soil, he's trying to deceive us. His whole agenda in your life is to steal everything you'll let him steal, to destroy everything you'll let him destroy, and to kill everything in your life that you let him kill. That's his sole intention in your life. And in my life. And if he can steal the word of God from your heart, if he can steal the goodness of God in your mind, if he can cause you to think it was God who did these things to me, not the evil one who did these things, he'll take that from you too. And so when tragedy strikes, we've got to understand who is the author of evil here. Don't be deceived to think that God is the author of evil. It's not God causing people to trample you. It's the deceiver. It's the deceiver. So some of us have a hard, emotional heart built up against God and the things of God. Some of us have an intellectual barrier, an intellectual hardness. And the idea that God exists and that God loves and that God cares is intellectually outside of where we think is possible. Whether we've been told in science class or philosophy class, that's just not smart. I'm going to challenge you, if that's you today, I'm going to just challenge you, open yourself up in your mind and your heart to the possibility that outside of what you think is possible. Now, being open-minded and open-hearted doesn't mean you're gullible. It just means that something outside of what you currently believe is possible. That it's possible. That it's possible that there really is a God that loves you. And even though people have trampled you, he still cares for you. And even though life has been hard, that there's still a loving creator who made you and made you for purpose and made you for relationship and made you for life, not death, for joy, not sorrow, for peace and not heartache. It's possible that God exists. Open yourself up to the possibility that there's a God who is for you. Listen to this. And there's an enemy who's against you. And so when you've been trampled in this hard heart and intellectually or emotionally, and you're angry, can I tell you, it's okay to be angry, but I'm challenging you. Point your anger towards the person that your anger should be for, and it's the deceiver, not your Savior. Identify deception. If you've got a hard heart today, I've been praying for you that you would just open yourself up to the possibility of God's love and His mercy and His grace and His goodness, and let Him prove Himself to you. Secondly, if we're going to have a heart that is healthy towards God, secondly, we've got to learn to interpret our circumstances to avoid a hurt heart, a hurt heart. Second seed, listen to what Jesus says. He said that second seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now, this is the rocky soil. And this thing is dead. I mean, there's a stem still there, but it's dead. The seed fell in a place that even though it looked like growth and it looked like life, that when the troubles of life came, it died. It died. Maybe you know somebody that spiritually they looked like they're interested in God, or they looked like they received the word of God, or it looked like there was movement and growth in their life. Maybe this is you. You had a season, you had a flare up, you had a moment where God was seemed real to you, but it just seemed like it came crashing down shortly thereafter, and you're even questioning your faith today. That's a wounded heart. And I can tell you how it happened. We talked about persecution a few weeks back. But more often than not, it's because tragedy struck. See, here's what the deceiver will say. He'll say, and I believe this too. Most of us do. When you come to know Christ and God becomes your heavenly Father, you think, okay, now everything's going to be great. It's going to be easy. It's going to be good. The blessings of heaven. It's going to shower down. It's going to be heaven on earth. It's going to be hunky-dory. Everything's good now. And guys, I wish it was true. But it's not. And with that false assumption, we set ourselves up for a wounded heart, because when tragedy comes, we go, God, where are you? God, why did you allow this to happen? God, why did this have to happen to me? And you've never forgiven God for what you've had to go through. It's an underlying assumption that God let you down. Listen, so therefore, He's not worthy of giving your life to. Why should I give it all for the one that won't give it all for me? That's the underlying assumption. You got to heal from that. And the way to heal from that is simply this. You got to bring it out. You got to deal with it. You got to expose it. You got to bring that sore subject back up in your own heart and say, okay, God, let's deal with this now. And it might bring anger. It might bring tears. It might bring yelling. You might get ticked off. You might want to try to alienate yourself, but you've got to bring this stuff back up and deal with it. And say, God, you've got to help me wrestle this to the ground and heal this wounded heart. And once you do, you know what your next step is? It's wait. It's listen. It's be quiet. It's pray. And it's let the God of the universe prove Himself to you. All right, God, I'm hurt. Let's see if you can fix it. And I promise you, He can and He will. You know, I know that. It's because God runs to the brokenhearted. The scripture says that over and over again. He runs to the brokenhearted. And when you're wounded and hurt, He's wounded and hurt. And when you feel pain, He feels your pain too. You know, my kids are all teenagers now. And,
You know, every phase that your kids are in, you think, man, this is the hardest phase. You do. I hated diapers. Right? I mean, that was terrible. And then they started moving around. That was bad. I liked when you could just set them down and walk away. That was great. And then they got in middle school. Holy cow. Are you kidding me? Now they're dating. Listen. All mine have been dating. And that's fine. Whatever. You know what's hard as a father? Is a breakup. And you see them walking around dejected. And they cry. You can hear them crying through the wall. And you hold them and you encourage them and you comfort them. But you know there's nothing I can do to fix this pain. Guys, can I tell you something? There's a heavenly Father when you're going through pain. He's right there with you in the pain. And he's comforting you. And he'll hold you. And he'll walk through that pain with you. He's not going away. He's getting close. He comes running when you're hurting and in pain. So don't push him away in your pain. Don't push him away. Interpret the circumstances right. Listen, interpret it right. That he isn't the cause of your pain, but he's the comfort in your pain. That's what he can be to you and I. If our hearts are going to be open to God, we can't let tragedy get us off track and stunt our growth and cause us to die spiritually. We got to have an answer for the tragedy of life, and it's God who comforts us in that pain. Number three, we're going to be heart-healthy people, open to the will of God in our lives. Number three, we got to eliminate distractions to avoid a harried heart. Third soil, third seed. It says the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Now, this thing is alive. There's life in it, but there's absolutely no flowers. There's absolutely no crop. There's absolutely no fruit. And I didn't stick weeds in there, but you can imagine there's weeds that grew up around it, and it's stunning its growth, and it wants to grow, but these weeds keep it from growing. The weeds in your life and the weeds in my life are simply this: the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth. Did you catch that? There's two things that will distract your heart from the things of God, and it's the worries of this life, and it's this deceitfulness of wealth. Now, we don't use the word harried a lot, so I want to read the definition. It means feeling strained as a result of having demands persistently made upon you. You feel strained? You feel pulled in different directions? Here's how this happens for a believer of Christ. You want to pursue the things of God, but these other things draw your heart and they draw your mind and your time and your attention and your energy and your focus and your mental bandwidth all goes to the things of this world. And you're worried about your job and you're worried about your income and you're worried about all these things that just are surface level in your life. And it pulls you away, not intentionally, but it pulls you away from the heart you want to have for God. And so you stand straddling on a fence, and one foot is in one world and the other foot is in the other world. There's a danger of getting too caught up in this world. There's a danger. Because we begin to look for it to satisfy us. We begin to look for it. We put too much stock in it and we hold on to it. When we think this world can deliver the happiness and the joy and the peace and the contentment and the purpose that can only be found in this world, but we look for this world to provide those things, our hearts gets deceived and pulled off track. And those weeds just circle around us and chokes us. It'll cause worry. Because, man, I got to hold on to this world. I got to make sure I get all my desires met in this world. No, it's never going to happen. It'll cause you to worry about money. It'll cause you to spend your life in the pursuit of money, thinking that that's where you're going to find ultimate satisfaction. And God is calling and crying over here. No, it's over here. It's over here. You ever been behind this driver? You're driving along, and you come up on them like a hurricane. Because they're going 15 miles under the speed limit. You're like, what the heck? And then all of a sudden, they're 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. And then they're on the right side, and then they're on the left side, and then and they're, you know, they're stopping right at the last second when the car turning in front. You know, that person could have been driving for decades, but what kind of driver are they? Anybody? Distracted driver. I tell you, that person's on their phone. That person's on their phone when they're going 15 over to 10, under 15, under to 10 over. Distracted. Guys, I just wonder, are we people distracted? We know what we're supposed to be. We think we've got it. We think we can drive on this world and follow God, but we're distracted. We think we can drive the car and look at YouTube, and we can drive the car and be on Twitter, and we can drive the car and be on text. We think we can live in the world of God and yet have everything this world offers too. And we're distracted, and we may be alive in Christ, but there is absolutely zero fruit to show for it. By the way, do you blow your horn at that person? I do. You should. It's your civic duty. You should feel good about it. I don't know about you. I don't want to enter eternity empty-handed with zero fruit to lay at the feet of Jesus. I don't want to enter into eternity and say, God, I made it. I'm alive in you and I made it here, but there's nothing to show for the life that you gave me. I don't want to enter eternity that way, and neither do you. You want to bear much fruit. Can I challenge you, church? I believe this is the single greatest cause for the lack of fruitfulness in the church of Jesus Christ in our day today as we live distracted lives. And guys, it's easy to point to this and say, this is why we're distracted. But let me tell you something. It goes way deeper than your phone. It's not a habit called your phone. It's a heart issue. That your mind, Jesus said, don't put your mind on earth, not on earthly things, but on things where? Above. What do you think about when you get up in the morning? What's the last thought when you lay down at night? What is the consuming passion and burden of your heart and your mind? Is it the fame and glory of God? Because anything else falls short. Number four. If we'll yield to God, if we'll just yield to Him, we will develop a healthy heart. I love this. That fourth seed, that fourth soil, it's not the best looking plant, but it's the best I could do Friday. It's got some flowers on it. That's pretty. You could cultivate, that'd be something beautiful, right? It says, but the feet falling on good soil, refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Guys, when we have a heart that is open to the word of God and the will of God, it doesn't mean it says when he understands it, but really the idea is that we take God's word seriously. And when he says yes, we say yes. And when he says no, we say no. And we act upon the truth and the power and the word of God. And when we let the word of God speak to us, it softens our heart. It gives us a healthy heart. When we act on God's word, it gives us a healthy heart, being productive for God. That's why reading our Bible and prayer, listen, coming to church, I want you here every Sunday. Getting in small group, I want everyone in our church in small group. But I'm going to tell you something. The number one way you will grow and your heart will be healthy is you spend individual alone time with God on a daily basis, praying and reading His word. It softens your heart to God. And I don't know about you, but man, when I get this book out and he starts speaking, it's like I'm being counseled by Almighty God. He's my counselor, and he shows me things about me, and he shows me things about my family, and he shows me things about life and this church and how to live and my attitudes and everything. Everything flows from it. So when it says, love your enemy, you take that serious and you act upon it. You serve them and you pray for them. When it says, forgive as the Lord forgave you, you don't let yourself hold grudges against people. That's wrong. Because God says it's wrong. When you and I have a heart that's healthy and soft and malleable in the hands of God, he will use your life to nourish and feed other people. You'll produce fruit. You'll produce a crop. And other people will eat the fruit of your fruitfulness. They'll eat and be fed because you have been good soil and God has cultivated in you. And you'll have things to offer other people that they can't find anywhere else. Words of life and encouragement. Who's feeding on your words of encouragement? You'll offer service to other people, and you'll gladly give of your time and your talents and your energy, and you'll serve them. Who's eating those fruits? You'll gladly share the good news of Jesus Christ, and people will hear about the love of God because you're producing that fruit in your life. Who's eating that fruit? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? God gets to heaven, you get to heaven, and God says, you produced a crop 30 or 60 or 100 times what was sown in you. You were good soil, and there's 100 people whose lives are changed for Jesus Christ because you were just good soil, and you let me cultivate in you a clean, godly, humble, holy heart, and I could use that, and I produced fruits and crops all your life. There's hundreds that have benefited from you. So I want to take a moment just to close here today, and let's examine our hearts. We could be any one of these soils today. Maybe your heart is hard, and God needs to soften it. What is the condition of your heart? Which of these soils, just be honest with yourself and honest with God, which of these soils best describe where you are today? Let's bow our heads, and we're going to pray about this, okay? Let's bow our heads together. Lord, my heart has been breaking for some hard hearts I know that are here today. And life has been difficult, and they feel trampled upon, and they've asked why. Today, I pray you open their heart and their mind to the possibility that there is a God who loves them and has been crying along with them and hurting along with them. And Lord, if there'd be one person in this room that says, I'm going to go from I don't know that God exists to I'm open to the fact that God may exist, just tell him that right where you are. We're going to give you praise for that today, God. And Lord, there may be someone in here saying, I've been thinking God's real, but man, I'm just convinced that these tragedies that have been in my life were not God's fault. I see the work of the deceiver clearly now. It's been him, and I'm mad at him, but I'm not mad at God anymore. God, if that's their prayer, they just call out of here, God, I'm not mad at you anymore. Tell them that. If that's truly the desire of your heart. Lord, for those that have a wounded, hurt heart, and they're trying to make sense of the tragedies in their lives, help them to understand you're not the cause, you're the comfort in our pain. And God, if they're wounded today, I pray they'll call on your name and say, God, I want you to be near. Will you come rushing to me? Will you wrap your loving arms around me? Will you comfort me like no one else can? God, would you bring hope in a hopeless situation? Would you bring life where I feel dead inside? God, make me alive in you today. In fact, God, if there's anyone in this room, would just say, I want to know this God that you've been talking about. I want to know God in a personal way. I want a relationship with Him. I want to be forgiven by Him. I want a clean, holy, healthy heart. For the first time in my life, I want God to clean up all the mess of my mistakes and my failures and my sin. And I want a fresh, clean start. And I've never received Christ into my life. But today I believe that Jesus is enough, that His death on the cross and His resurrection from the dead proves that He was the God in the flesh, that I can put my faith and trust in Him, not just for today, but for my entire life and for eternity. And if that's you, you call in the name of Jesus and say, Jesus, I put my faith in you today. I'm trusting in you, Jesus. I want to turn from my sin. I don't want to disobey you. I want to obey you. And I receive the forgiveness that's found in Jesus Christ. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you need to find someone. You need to go back to the next step table at the end of the service and let somebody know you made the greatest decision you could ever make. Finally, Lord, I want to pray for the majority of us in this room that if we had to pick a soil, I would say that we're distracted. And our heart isn't set above, but it's on earthly things way too often, way too much. We're letting the things of this world choke out the fruitfulness in our lives. God, I repent of that in front of my brothers and sisters in Christ. God, have all of me. Make that your prayer. God, have all of me. Cut out the weeds. Cut out the distractions. Cut out my dependence on this world, that I would depend solely and completely on you. God, make us clean-hearted. And I pray for each person in this room that you'll use them to produce a crop 30, 60, and 100-fold what was put into them. And God, they'll get to heaven one day and they'll hear you say, well done. Well done. We ask that in Jesus' name.